Tonight I want to share the word with you. I've been thinking about this this week, and it was also just so great at Encounter 5 that we had on Saturday, and the guys from France who came and helped us a lot. So tonight we could just continuing a little bit from there. But many of you guys were at the Encounter 5. Who were there? Yay! You can put up your hands. What? It was great, ne? Yeah, I also thought it was awesome. So at Encounter 5, we speak about just evangelism and how to practically do it. And one of the things that you need for that is to hear God's voice. And I was thinking before Encounter 5, I was thinking about just this whole principle of hearing God's voice. Because there's one thing I read of John Piper, and he says hearing God's voice is actually very, very important, on this side of eternity, because it says there that Jesus will call you from the grave, some to eternal life and others to eternal judgment. So the voice of God will be heard by all. For some it will be called from the grave unto judgment. And for those of us who know Christ, this side of eternity will be called out of the grave into eternal glory with God. So hearing God's voice is really important. I want you to just turn to the person next to you and just tell that person, how do you hear the voice of the Lord? Okay, there's not a right and a wrong here, okay? Just turn to the person next to you, and then you ask them and you tell them, just how do you mostly hear the voice of the Lord? Eric came, yay, hello. All right, wonderful. If I don't cut you short, you're going to speak all day about how the Lord speaks to you. I'm so glad to hear that God speaks to you so vivaciously. Listen, does God still speak today? Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so God is not dead like those movies we've watched. God is very much still alive, and He's still speaking today. So who said through the Bible? Okay, hallelujah. As well. No, you didn't say that. I didn't ask as well. Who said through the Bible? Okay, cool. Right. That's not the right. There's the other side I'm going to get to as well. The first one, that the first way in which we can see God speaking to us is the Bible. And there's a big word here. It's called through inference. I've got a definition here. What inference means is a conclusion reached on the basis of evidence and reasoning. So, God has given us His whole word, that thick book that we call the Bible, that I told you the other day about, is actually a library and not a book, because there's a lot of books in it. But God speaks primarily through us all, through inference, and that is, we can read through the Bible and see that God is actually who He says He is. Not just by saying things like, yeah, because the Bible says so. What you read in the Bible actually makes sense if you choose to see it. Okay, so that is a big thing. I had some questions this week, and I told the guys at Encounter 5, God had me dig deep again. One of the questions that was, thrown my way, this because I'm the pastor, people just, they ask me the difficult questions. But it's actually something that we all need to consider, okay? Because I knew it somewhere, but I forgot it. Sometimes we need to go back to the Bible, and just dust off those things, those hard and difficult questions, because people have got them. And the one question that came to me is, why did Jesus have to die such a bloody death to save us? Because by implication, what the guy was asking is, That is a sadistic God that does that. Now you don't want to hear those type of questions, huh? But there are people out there that's not Christians, and they've got questions like that. And can you answer that? Can you give them, by the basis of evidence and reasoning, a coherent answer to questions like that? And that's not easy, people. Believe me, I've been digging and getting stuff and reading through it, and just to get myself to that place again where I understand why. I won't leave you hanging like I didn't leave the guys hanging at Encounter 5. But one thing I got to was, and it actually made sense, you know, in Genesis already, we've got the story of two brothers. One is Abel and the one is Cain, okay? So the two brothers comes and, you know, after Adam and Eve and all of those things, we get them bringing an offering to God. And as they bring the offering, Abel brings his offering and it's received by God. And Cain comes and he brings his offering and it's not received by God. And then it says that Cain's his countenance changed and he killed his brother, okay, ultimately. Why? Why did that instance, and the Encounter 5 guys can't answer now, but why did Abel's offering please the Lord and Cain's not? His heart, okay? Okay, you can say that. I just want you to think. I don't want you to, you don't have to give me the answers. If you want, it's fine. But the thing is, you know, and that's one of the answers that I got. Abel did his offering toward God in the way that God has commanded it to be. Cain did his offering toward God in the way that he thought it should be. He brought his stuff and he offered it to God on the altar. But it wasn't what God commanded. And from the beginning, God commanded that the atonement for sin is blood. The sadistic thing. But that the atonement is by blood, because we see after Adam has sinned, the first thing that God does is they try to clothe themselves with fig leaves. Cain tried to bring himself, his offering and whatever to God to please him. It didn't work. There's a way that God has commanded things to be, and there is. Okay, so I'm going to leave you guys there. Go and search this question in the week. Go research it for yourself, because it's important questions, people. And sometimes it's difficult for us to go into that. So anyway, the first thing and the first way that God speaks to us is through the scriptures. So you can just pick up the scripture, and you know that this is God speaking right here. So, first one there in 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So all of scripture, the whole of scripture, was breathed out by God, using different people to write different things, but it's a coherent story that God has written from the beginning, from Genesis, or we'll say from Job through Genesis unto Revelation. Anyway, I'm just saying Job is a really old book that we have in the Bible. And then in 1 Corinthians 8:6 it says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Okay, now I've unpacked that one really well the last time that I preached, just regarding Jesus being the Lord of all and everything that was made through him. You know, everything was made through Christ. And Christ is upholding everything at this very moment by his spoken word. So if Christ stops speaking today, we all die. And there's nothing. Then everything ceases to exist. But it won't, because God says that he upholds everything with the power of his word. So then John 16 verse 15, it says there that Jesus, you know, the scripture, Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that the Spirit will make what is mine and declare, will take what is mine and declare it to you. So, all of Scripture, through those verses, the Holy Spirit will take what is Jesus's and he will make it known unto you. As you read the Word, the Holy Spirit will take that which comes from the Father through Jesus and he will make known to you everything that is his. So, to put it into plain words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, Jude, you know, or the writer of Hebrews, all of them, when they say Jesus said, then you can actually read that and say, this is Jesus now speaking through the Holy Spirit to me. I know this is elementary stuff, but we need to know. Jesus said, then you can read, I said. When it said Jesus did, then you can say, Jesus saying, I did. So, with regards to this, I want you guys to know, because the written word, as we have it, is the first place where God comes and reveals himself to us. So, anybody who wants God to speak to them, they must just read the word. But here's the thing that Satan doesn't want. Satan wants us to come to the word and think it's a chore. And for most of us, most of us is a good word. Sitting in this room, reading the Bible is, in your mind and in your heart, a chore. You don't have to answer. But I know it's that because of your flesh, Satan, and this world working deliberately together to bring you to that place where reading the Bible is an effort for you. And tonight I just want to unpack some practical things, okay? So I'm not going to get too deep theological tonight, but I want you guys to see that when you read the word, there are things that you can do. I don't do all of them. So I read around, got some articles and things through the week. Just to make what you take in Christ through, revealed through his scriptures, to make that part of you in a pleasant way. Because to think that reading the scripture is just boring and a chore is nonsense. Scripture is alive. Scripture changes you. If you meditate on the word, if you meditate on Christ, it changes you. It gives you a heart of flesh. It takes away the heart of stone that you've got. Scripture is awesome. Through the Holy Spirit, changing your life and bringing it as Christ wants you to be. So, Scripture feeds our souls and gives us our bearings as we go through life. Many times, you know, especially with young Christians, those that have just got saved, you don't have to tell them anything. They'll just read the whole book. They'll eat it up every day. It's awesome. Always have new believers around you. They feed you as an old, mature Christian. It's amazing to see their zeal for the word, their zeal for prayer, their zeal for the lost, because it's in them. When we get so mature, sometimes we forget that. So get people around you that have just become saved. And the great thing is, they will infect you with their passion for Christ, but they will also turn to you and ask you questions, which is great, because then you can sit in your office and dig into stuff that you've known or you think you've known, and now you have to answer it again. It's awesome. So, when we read Scripture, as I told that young believer the other day, and him asking me this question, you know, it's like teaching your kids. For an 8-year-old, 6-year-old, you can't give them wishy-washy answers, people. For a young Christian, the same. You can, and anyway, I won't get sidetracked there, but if people only come to you for answers, that's also not right. I'm getting sidetracked anyway. When people come to you, remember that if you give them the answer, you are short-circuiting the process of learning. The process of learning is happening around us constantly. And we must engage that process of learning with people by not giving them the answer sometimes, but walking with them their own and just making them hungry to go and feed on the scriptures or to go and search out for themselves. Because when you do something yourselves, even though you don't know exactly what you're doing, guess what? You learn. And you get revelation. You know, if I go to Flo and say, Flo, what's the answer to this? And she says, this is the answer now. Oh, okay, great. That's how I studied most of the time. Stupid way of studying. You know, you take the exam paper and then this is your question. And then from that question, you're like, okay, I know this, I know this, I know this. And then you just turn to the answer because you've got the answer and you say, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, I remember. We call it in Afrikaans the oya methode. The oh yes method. Oh yes, oh yes. You fool yourself into thinking that you really know this because you're just turning to the answer. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Guess what? When you write that exam, you will not have that paper with the answers. And then the oh yes is, oh no. Oh no, I've got a big problem. So when it comes to scripture and that process of learning, you know, God loves it. You know, he says, come to me, let us reason together. Your sins are like scarlet and I will make you white as snow. Come to me. Let's deliberate. Let's get into this thing. God wants us to be hands-on. And the scripture feeds our souls. And if we start to grow into a habit of just being around scripture and reading it for ourselves, then God can come and he can do inference into our lives through the Holy Spirit by his word. Okay? So how do you grow that habit? That habit of not making reading your Bible a chore and a thing that you must do. Okay? The first thing is, change your mindset to bring you to a place where you treat yourself to the Word of God. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. I'm going to treat myself to the Word of God. And when I say that, think just in your life. When you treat yourself, what do? No spiritual answers now. When you, in your life, where you are sitting on that chair, in your life outside of this building, that is not spiritual and all that, when you want to go and treat yourself, what do? Yeah, but I want you to think in that way. So when you treat yourself to scripture, do that. Okay, for some of us, you know, we've got 3 kids running around and it's very difficult even to treat yourself with a cup of coffee. But you must think in that way. Treat yourself to the word of Lord. The word of the Lord. Isaiah 55:1, it's an invitation. It says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. How great is that? God is inviting us. Come. If you read Psalm 23, same thing. Come and sit. I've given you a spread. Here, where? In the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. But there's a spread for you there. I want to treat you to my word. My word is tough sometimes, but come on, come and have some. You'll live on this. This stuff will really feed you. Isaiah 55 is awesome. God comes and he just invites us to that place. So treat yourself. Get your head into that space. How will I treat myself to the word of the Lord today? Then the second one is, just coming off that, is get to bed earlier. It is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. When I was studying in Dagbreek in Stellenbosch, I was like, you know, we didn't have a meeting start before 11 o'clock at night. Because then that is when everybody was ready for a meeting. And then we'll have a meeting from 11 till 11:45. And then everybody would go to bed at 1. But then most of the people will get up at 10 o'clock for teekan, the tea can that they have, because of the time they went to bed. And then when you were studying and you get to these people with the kids and you come there at 9 o'clock and you open the door and they are like in their 90s already and the slip-slops and that, and I'm like, freak. I are one of those freaks now. If you come to our house after 9 o'clock, you will very rarely get any life there because we get up at 5. Try to get a student up at 5. Only when it's exam time, they'll be up at 5 because they've been studying through the night. So get to bed earlier so that you can treat yourself to the word of the Lord. You know, and third thing is, get yourself an inviting space to be in. When you treat yourself to a coffee, then you go to a place where you like it. You'll sit there in a place where, and the big word is, the ambiance is awesome. Whatever that means. But it's great. It's not just the coffee, it's the whole experience. And my wife has done amazing things in our house, you know, just thinking and bringing us spaces where we like to be there. She changed our house around, and now there's this space in our house. It's like we just hang there because it's nice to be there. Get yourself a space like that for the word of the Lord, where you like to be there. Get an inviting space for you when you get to treat yourself to the word of the Lord. Fourth thing, get some good smells going. Okay, this is not my thing, but I mean, I'm just saying that this is some of the stuff that I read. For some of us, it might work because you are a person like that. In that inviting space, think, I'm going to treat myself to the word of the Lord. And again, this is not me. I don't like it, but maybe some of you do. Instead of spending your money on some random stuff, think of, I'm going to treat myself to the word of the Lord, and I'm going to spend some money to make that nice for me. Get some incense going or whatever. I don't know. I hate that smell. Sorry, I'm just saying this is not my thing, but maybe it is. Okay? Get some good smells going. If you can get the coffee machine up, you know, then I'll be there. That good smells are, it's, I like it. So get some practical things going when you come before the Lord. And I mean, this is also scriptural, okay? Jesus commended Mary for choosing the good portion by sitting at his feet, and also by just coming to him, and she anointed his feet with costly oil. Oil of worship, aroma, awesome. Okay? So I'll pull that one out for you. God is not offended if we sometimes, not always, but sometimes just splash out on time with him, because he loves it too. And then, where's my... fine. So, get some... Fifth one. Just close your eyes. Worship too deep. There are many of those things that you find on YouTube. It's an hour long. It's deep soaking worship music or stuff like that. There's the ones that I love most is those that are just the piano playing. Get those things. Put it on. Listen to it while you are meditating on the word of the Lord. Don't fall asleep if you do this 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay? But get some conductive is a, you know, but anyway, if the electricity goes through you conductively with the sounds, then that's fine. But anyway, get some conducive sounds so that you can just bring that presence of the Lord into that place where you are at. Okay, so, and then in that place that you've created for yourself, is an amazing opportunity to spend time in prayer and worship with the Lord. Then you have treated yourself to the word of the Lord and to his scriptures. So remember that when you think again about just reading, I need to do my Bible reading for today. Tick, think God is into that. He wants to make it a place where you can think, I'm really liking this. Okay, so the second way that God speaks to us, and most of you might have said this as well, is through experience, through His Spirit. Bible says in John 10, verse 4 and 5 and verse 27, it says, the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, for they do not know the voices of strangers. But sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. So when we start to follow the Lord, and as we, you know, read Scripture and all of those things, there's a place where the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you in life. But it's something that you actually need to learn, because there are a lot of voices speaking to us daily, hourly. Remember, our flesh, the world, and Satan does their best to get us away from that place of treating ourselves to the Lord, but also in the same way, it just makes everything so busy and loud. It is extremely loud out there. And I'm not saying, but most of us are being bombarded by information 24/7 almost. More and more and more. In our lives as well. You know, let's just quickly check. What did this do? Or Facebook. Some people's fingers are already, you know, getting like, there's new diseases coming out these days for fingering this thing. Hectic. Anyway, so my experience is how we learn and how we hear God's voice as well. But we need to learn to listen to God's voice in that. Because we can speak to ourselves. We can have Satan speak to us, and we have to discern the Lord's voice through all of that. So how do you do that? First way is through silence and solitude. And what I like about, you know, just the things that I've read is when we come to silence and solitude, we are made for rhythms of silence and noise, community and solitude. That's so awesome. You can't be in one place all the time. Even silence and solitude, you know, like the monks do. That's just weird, man. It's great. Sounds very spiritual. But God has given us silence and solitude as almost just this rhythmic thing. We need silence to be ourselves better when we are among people again. And then when we've been in silence so long, we need to get among people again to have some noise in our ears. Okay, so God has created us in this, you know, this rhythmic response of life. You know, just look at our lives. We're getting into evening now. We've done the day, doing a lot of stuff, and now we're going into a period of rest. Just naturally, God has wired us to do stuff and to rest. It's this rhythmic flow that God has given us. And when it comes to silence and solitude, that is the same. So, when it comes to, I just wrote here, there was one of my friends, and I remember this when I was in school. And we had a sleepover. Well, there was two of my friends came and slept in my place. And we had like underfloor heating. I remember it was in winter time. And we just lay on the ground with our bedding. And it was warm, but it was hard. And we was lying there. But my one friend, I don't know if he read it somewhere, but we thought it was cool because he said it was cool. And I was like, why didn't I just put it off? But no, he said, no, he sleeps with this and this CD of his that he brought with on all night long. And he put that on and I couldn't close my eyes. But no, we're cool. We listen to music while we sleep. And I couldn't get to sleep. And then when they were sleeping, or he was used to it, and when the when the CD came to an end, it wasn't on repeat, and I was like, oh, hallelujah, silence. And then my friend got up and he pushed play again. And I'm like, there I learned already, you know what? You can't have noise all the time. You need silence and solitude to be sane. Okay? My wife will tell me tonight, did you hear the preacher tonight? We need some silence and solitude. Anyway, so how do we do that? You know, we get away. And this doesn't necessarily mean you need to pack your things and leave. You can get places and times, you know, in a day where you can just go and be silent for a while. And when you start learning this process of being in silence and solitude, then you can actually do that among people. You can get away. It just makes your head go to a place where there's no clutter there. Okay, it's not like Zen. Okay, that's not the point. But you just get to a place where you can focus on God and what He is doing. So the second thing there is, you know, why do we get away? We need to distinguish the voices in the silence. When you go to the Karoo, or when you go to where it snowed recently, that is also a great thing. We don't experience snow much in South Africa, but my mother actually, she would have been 64 today, but she died in 96, and you know, after we buried her in July, it was kind of this time, obviously, then the day after we buried her, it snowed in the Free State. You know, God just blessing me and my family sent a snowstorm into the Free State for us. But I remember that morning when I got outside and it was this thick snow. It wasn't like just a little bit. It was thick snow. And when you stood outside, there where you stand every day, it was just silent. That snow just takes in all of the noise. And it's kind of like, what is this place? So when you come to that place of silence, and if you want to really experience this, go to the Karoo. There you can really have silence where it hurts your ears actually. Nothing. And then in that place, when you sit down, then you will start to distinguish between the voices, which are yours and which are God's and all of those things. But just to get to that place of silence, you see that, there's a lot of stuff that's in my head and going on. So if you have a computer, no, don't do that. I wouldn't necessarily. When you go into that place of silence, then take your pencil book or whatever, you know, old-fashioned with. And then after you've been quiet for a while, just start to write what's in your head. Whatever comes up. And it's amazing if you see what you write and how you can distill when you see it again, just which things are nonsense and myself and my this. And then through it, you start to see, hey, but God is actually speaking to me as well. And then I've just touched on it quickly, in the previous point, but beware of the dangers in that place. And there was actually also a cool revelation for me from Revelation. You know, I was falling into that thing where I thought that heaven is going to be loud. Because, yes, it will be loud. And there will be amazing things there. You know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And everything shakes and there's smoke and it's hectic. But I've never read this. Revelation 8:1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Even in heaven, there will be noise, but there will be silence as well. And I thought that heaven is just a loud place. Maybe it's because of myself. But that was cool just for me to see. So beware of the dangers of going too much into silence or too much into the noise, okay? Do that rhythmic thing. You need both. And then make room for daily respites. You know, so get out daily for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, how long you can do. But not the whole day, unless you plan for that. To have time alone with God, you know, or quiet time as people call it these days, but we need to do that daily. And then ultimately you can, when you're big and strong and old and don't have kids running around necessarily, then you can do a retreat. Take a special retreat. But you can even do this with kids. You just need to plan. We've seen a lot of our pastor friends go for a week to LL Ministries up there in Pretoria, and that's what they do. It's silence and solitude and God's word and them praying and all of that. And it's amazing the testimonies when they come back. So if you guys want to treat us, then maybe we should make a plan for next year that Danelle and I can go. But to take a special retreat, you just need to plan more. But go away and then pray for God's blessing over that time. You know, and don't assume that the voices in your head are all God's in that time. Assume they are yours. And then declutter and get into that place where you read and you meditate on the Bible. Just thaw your spirit. When it comes to thawing your spirit, again, just a practical example for me was I was doing what they're doing now, the MTP stuff, and it was just a hectic time for me. It was busy and doing a lot of things, and then I drove the bus as well for GoSA, which is now moved to Malmesbury, hallelujah. But as I was doing all of these things, I drove a group of youth of Franschhoek, actually, and we came here to the Watervalle here in Portugal. And I had this one experience. There was other stuff there as well, but this one experience, it was the one morning about 10 o'clock, and we went up this mountain there at the Watervalle, waterfalls. And as I went up there, you know, everybody had to go and find a spot. And I found a spot around the corner up this mountain with this big rock behind me and the sun just rising there. It's now at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever, somewhere there. And it's just the rays of the sun was just so warm. And I can remember when I read this, you know, take time to thaw your spirit. I experienced it that day. You know, when it was silent around me, nobody in my ears, and I had 15 minutes, 20 minutes of just thawing in the rays of the sun with God in silence. It was so overwhelming for me, I fell asleep in that 20 minutes. God, I'm not saying, you know, go spend time with God and fall asleep, but it was just, they came in and they fetched me. And I was like, ooh. Just to get to that place where you thaw before God. Because we are so tensed up. We are so on the go continuously. And then remember that page that I told you guys about. Write down the voices. And don't get detailed. You know, those of you who are detailed and I want to make the 10-point plan, don't do that. Just write it down. You can set a time later after you've written down all those things where you can work through it. But just get those things out there as you've taken this time out with God. And then the last thing, and I'll end with this tonight, is, you know, in an extended prayer session, I don't have much time now, but I want us to just be practical tonight. So I've already played you some music, but I won't play that music again. But I want you to sit still right now, there where you are, and take 3 minutes. And let's trust the Holy Spirit for you to thaw your spirit and your emotions and just be with God. Okay. So let's close our eyes and I'll give us 3 minutes. And you don't have to do anything. Okay? You don't have to do anything now. Just be. It's going to be. Father, thank you that tonight we come, God, and we just repent, Lord, of the busyness of our lives, God. And not making time, God, to just get away from it all, even if it's just for 3 minutes in a day. And just to listen and be. Father, I pray, Lord, that as you fill us with your scripture, Lord, as we read it, and through inference, God, and by experience, Lord, we learn to listen to your word, Lord, and to hear your voice as you speak to us. God, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to come into these ebbs and flows, God, of how you work. That we will get into your timing, God. Active and rest. Silence and noise. And Father, we can declutter our lives, Lord, and just all the noises and the voices in our head. And we get to that place where we can daily get into this rhythm. Father, help us to do practically the things that we need to do to make the time with you, Lord, a feast. And your word. That we can treat ourselves to your word, God. But also, Lord, that when we've got time alone, Lord, that you can speak to us because our minds aren't full of things and voices and stuff. We've trained ourselves, oh God, to be silent and to be in solitude as well, so that you can speak to us, God. Father, I honor you, Lord, and thank you for tonight. And God, we pray that we go into this week, Lord, from this place of rest, being with you. And then we can impact this world, God. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.